When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here comes a throw home. He's going to be out at home. Oh, what a throw by Soto.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Inside the 1 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York, 101.9 FM, KM to 2 a.m. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, talking about the draft, talking about the New York Knicks taking their first loss in the series to the Sixers, the Islanders losing three in a row, and they might get swept. And the Yankees split the series with the A's. It's not good enough. I know, it's early, Keith, it's early. You guys keep saying it's early. It'll be May in less than a week. Oh, it's early, man. Oh, they'll figure it out. I don't know. If they figure it out, they take one step forward. They just took it two steps back. And now they got to go to Milwaukee and play the Brew Crew. And then they got to go to Birdland and face the O's. And I don't know. I hope that's good for them, right? Like, when I talk about the Make It Happen Mets, hitting the road was just what the doctor ordered. They needed to get on the road as a team. That camaraderie, you know, get away from the toxicity of New York fans booing Aaron Judge. Get away even from the pomp and circumstance of New York, John Sterling Day and all that. Go on the road. Go see what it's like in Milwaukee. It's way different in Wisconsin. Go see what it's like in Maryland, Camden Yards. I guess they're popping now. They weren't when they were losing 100 games. But here's something. For the Latin community, the Hispanic community, my Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, or whatnot, I stirred up some trouble, and I love stirring up some trouble on the internet because it's fake. It doesn't mean anything. And people love to take things from the internet and read them and make them their own. So something I noticed, the Yankees have been just hosting so many people I don't know. Musicians, wrestlers, boxers, athletes. And so today I commented on it. And I don't know, I'm in Legends. Probably like once a series or once a homestand, and I'll pop into Legends. And I see these famous people, and you know what I realized too in this modern day time? You know, there's so many pockets of fame. Someone can be famous to someone and be no one to the next person, right? They're, like, to me, like, I don't know everybody, and I'm not trying to know everybody, but how I stirred up some trouble today, because I haven't been on Instagram, but I did post on Instagram that my show was starting. The Yankees put out a post earlier today, like 5 hours ago. And there's a guy, and I meant no disrespect to the guy, but there's a guy named Ra Walejandro. I guess he's a Puerto Rican reggaeton artist. He's got 19.1 million followers, so obviously he's popping. But he goes to Yankee Stadium. He's in Legends with his fur coat on, sipping a beer. The Yankees feature him on their Instagram, and I write, "This is the year of all the random celebrities pulling up that I never heard of." No disrespect to homie, right? Like, who am I? And like, people start coming at me. No, you're the random celebrity. I'm flattered that you think I'm a celebrity because I have a verified badge. I was on MLB Network. They made sure to get me verified so that, you know, when they added me on TV and people looked it up, it was valid. But then I replied, I was like, get out of your feelings. I mean no disrespect. They've been posting a lot of people that I click on, see millions of followers, and I've never seen them before. That's good. It's all promo. Now you're on my page. Like, now I'm charting. I've gained 2,000-3,000 followers since baseball season started. It is all promotion. It is all entertainment, right? I'm looking at my professional dashboard. You've reached over 215,000 accounts in the last 30 days. All I do is just post me going to Yankee Stadium, me starting a WFAN show, me going to a Lil Wayne concert, me going to spring training. But people were in their feelings. Shout out to my boy MG. I don't know if my boy MG, Migs from Brooklyn is listening, but he's Puerto Rican. I know he was at the Jets draft party tonight. We're going to start talking Jets in a minute. But I was like, yo, his Swifties came for me. I'm looking at all my notifications, and I got all these people. Who are you? Uncultured. You're the random celebrity. You're a nobody. Not too late to delete this. And I just laugh. I just think it's great. But back to the Yankees before we get to talk about the Jets at 877-337-6666. I'm not a dummy. I actually know the people that run the Yankees social media account. They do a great job. You've heard me say that the Yankees weren't always this good at social media. They got the right ones now. And with Juan Soto mania and Yankee Stadium becoming Juan Soto land, there has been a lot of reggaeton artists and people that are popular or famous in, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, in Latin Hispanic circles, and they are making them visible and known to us Americans, New Yorkers, whatever. There's another guy, I'm like, who the hell is this guy? His Instagram is Mike Towers, MykeTowrs. He's got 12.1 million followers. Never heard of him. No disrespect. Don't know who you are. I saw G-Eazy was at the game, and Aaron Judge gave him these huge cleats. I also stirred up some trouble there because I was like, Gerald's first couple albums were classics, and I don't know what happened to bro. Must have been Housie. Shout out to Housie from Jersey. But yeah, there's another guy, a boxer, Ben Whitaker. Never heard of him. There's another guy, Archangel. Never heard of him. So all I was saying was the Yankees have been rolling out the red carpet and featuring these guys on their Instagram, which, like, the Yankees should, because all of these guys have more followers than the Yankees on Instagram. That, to me, doesn't make sense, but I understand. I do have a world view. I do understand that this is a globe. It's bigger than just American baseball on 161st Street. The Yankees have 3.5 million followers. I just went through the numbers for all these guys. Let's see how much Archangel has. Archangel has 17.6 million followers. So all these guys that they are featuring, it's business. They're featuring them in hopes that they tag them to their audience and more people come to the stadium and more people come witness Juan Soto mania. It is all good for business. It's great for me. Business is booming for me right now. 877-337-6666. Let's talk about the Jets. I think business is booming for the Jets. Joe Douglas finessed tonight, because when he got on the phone with the Vikings, he probably told the Vikings that the Raiders and the Broncos were looking to trade up. And if they don't give him more than a fourth round pick, then he's hanging up the phone. And he said, no, don't hang up. Don't hang up. We want JJ McCarthy that bad. Brian is in North Babylon on the Fan. What's up, Brian?
What's up, Keith? First time caller. Love your show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. I'm a long time Islanders fan. I don't really want to talk about them. I was kind of
disappointed. Yeah, I get it.
Absolutely. The Jets, though, I mean, I want to talk about their draft pick. I mean, I really like it. I did really like Bowers. I will admit it. Like, he was the flashy pick. But in the end of the day, like, you got to look at the tackles that they have. I mean, Moses and Tyron Smith, I mean, I hate to say it, but they're injury prone. Like, Tyron Smith's only played 13 games really a year.
And they're up there in age.
Yeah, they're up there in age.
And look at the last couple years with the Jets. How many calls and how many shows we've had talking about the Jets offensive line and injuries, and over the last couple years, they made the right move.
Absolutely. I mean, like, I don't get why Jets fans are really upset by this pick. I mean, I think it's great. He's a great player. I mean, he's really good in pass protection. I mean, you saw how Rodgers got hurt last year. I mean, we really need to protect him this year. And if we do, I mean, if one of these guys goes down, he's there. And I think it was a great pick.
Yeah, I think that was the number one thing. The way that I leaned into it, I said, if I am a Jets fan or somebody in the Jets front office, I have trauma. I have PTSD. I have nightmares at night where I wake up and think about, we got Aaron Rodgers, but we couldn't protect him. We lost him for a season. We wasted a year. Can't happen twice.
100%, yeah. That's why you make that pick. And I think they should really think about trading it up into the second round and maybe taking a guy like Adonai Mitchell, who's really good.
Yeah.
Still, maybe
that's a great call. He dropped. No one picked him?
Absolutely. No one picked him.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's a guy that they were saying could have been a first-round talent, and all these other guys. Keon Coleman.
Keon Coleman?
Yes.
He was a little slow in the his 40
so
time.
So what? But. That 40, like, I've watched him play from MSU to FSU. That kid is a boss, and mark
he
my
is.
Words, he's,
he I will.
You know, I, some guys that. Just, Puka Nacua was slow in the 40.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, bro.
And I want to say, I do really do agree with your pick, with your take on, what's his name, Penix. I think he's an incredible player. He had an incredible year. I really see him, his skill translating to the NFL. And, you know, Kirk's injury prone as well. I mean, he didn't play last year and with that tear. And I think that was a really good call by them. He's an incredible player.
Quarterbacks I mean, are expensive. You got to pay top dollar for him, but you don't have to pay top dollar for Michael Penix. And he might, what if he's the best quarterback in this draft in 5 years?
I really think he could be.
I think he could potentially be too.
Yeah, and they got a really talented offense. I mean Bijan and
those guys need a quarterback. They have weapons and they're young.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you gotta I don't know, you gotta take some risks, man. It was a calculated risk, right? Dallas Turner, you can find another Dallas Turner. You might be able to find one on day two. Michael Penix Jr. though. Somebody was going to go get him. And I think the Falcons thought long and hard about it, and they're like, take him. Take him.
Yeah. I think it was a great pick.
Thanks for the call, Brian. I like the move. 877-337-6666. I see some of you guys picking me up on Twitter, @Keith_McPherson. If you can't get through on the line, the show will be over in 40 minutes. Let's pick up the pace. We're still talking Jets. Jarvis up in Harlem. How you feeling about Olufashinu?
Feeling good, man. How's everything?
Great. I mean, I enjoyed the draft tonight, the presentation, the picks, and I had been saying you take the best. I've said this kid's name, but I guess I was pronouncing it wrong. I heard Kuiper say Fashanu. I've been saying Fashanu, putting the emphasis on the A-N. But I've been saying for a while, if he's there, right, because we all expected Joe Alt to be gone, and then even J.C. Latham. But I'm like, if this kid is there, you take him. You shore up that offensive line, and they did.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm just watching the inside NBA. They're talking, you know, my Nuggets won, you know, beating the Lakers. And
of course.
That would be 11 straight wins against the Lakers.
The Lakers can't Looks beat like them. The I don't care where they play, what time, any. They can't beat them.
Yeah. They go for the looks like the Nuggets are going to go for the broomstick on Saturday. They're going for the sweep. The series is over. They done. The Lakers are done. They just got no energy. The Nuggets in the Lakers' head. They just can't beat the Nuggets. So that's
brooms. They're going to get swept. They're going to be big mad.
Yeah, because LeBron, you know, in the first round, he's like 17-1, never losing the first round. Looks like it's going to be 17-2, losing the first round as an NBA player. So that's going to happen this Saturday. So anyway, but I want to talk about the New York Jets and. You know, about, you know, Aaron Rodgers, take about like 3 or 4 years and think that he's has some football left. And, you know, all I hear folks talk about, like, well, they got to go for the Super Bowl this year. They got to go for, like, you know, try to go all the way. They should be all in. But, you know, they think they're a Super Bowl contender. It's like, you know, all they need to do is, like, focus on making the playoffs and win some games, man. That's all they need to focus on, too. Because they've been on 14 years
long. They couldn't score. They didn't have any quarterback play. They need to protect the quarterback and score points. Thanks for the call, Jarvis. I'll say this. I read this earlier. I don't know if you guys follow Underdog Fantasy, their NFL account on Twitter, but it's great. They hit you with all the draft picks and all the information. They said, tonight set the record for the most offensive players ever selected in the first round of the NFL draft. It's a sign of the times. Why is the NFL king? Why do so many people love the NFL? Because you can play fantasy football where you don't even have to have a favorite team. Your favorite team can be your fantasy team, and you're just rooting for yards, touchdowns, points. Now gambling is legal in so many places. You're just trying to put a parlay together with yards, catches, or receptions, rushing yards, receiving yards, touchdowns. So all of these offensive players went in the first round, and as you saw late in the first round, there was a run on receivers. So those top flight receivers went top 10, and then we got to a point where all of the good teams in the bottom, from the Niners to the Bills to the Chiefs. They're like, hey, we need these playmakers. We're trying to score points. It's a league where you got to score 20, 30 points to win. Really 30. 877-337-6666. Dwight is in Asbury Park, New Jersey on the Fan. Your boy Cooper DeJean, he didn't get picked.
Yeah. He's going to be a second or third rounder.
There was a lot of hype around him, but somebody is going to get a steal with that kid in the second round. I was surprised. Yeah. Not that many DBs. You usually see corners, the top flight corners go. That's the other thing.
I was telling people, I was like, hey, these receivers going to be taking their first round. How many DBs going to be taking their first round so they can deal with them? Like I said,
three.
Everybody was talking about Cooper DeJean being a first rounder, but
Kool-Aid McKinstry dropped out of the first round.
Yeah, I was talking about him too. Everybody was talking about him being a first rounder.
For the last 2 years, they've been saying he was going to be a first round pick. He fell out of the first round.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, he slipped all the way down to the second round. That ain't looking good for him. I was like, whoa, what's up?
Yeah, but it's going to look good for the second round. That's why the NFL is king, man. There are players that we're waiting to see where they go. Last year, I remember Joey Porter Jr.'s kid, or Joey Porter Jr., went to the Steelers. He fell out of the first round.
Him being a first round and that, he dropped down to the second. I was like, whoa, what's up with him, too? I thought, because he ran a 4.4 at the combine, I thought he was going to be at least a late first rounder.
I mean, and just the bloodline. I mean, he found the right home. He ends up being drafted by the Steelers where his dad played. There was another guy last year that fell into the second round from Alabama that the Lions took. I'm blanking right now. I just have too many names and sports in my head. And when he walked across that stage, I'm like,
I was like, hey, Keith, Embiid, me and that guy in the groin. That was payback for what was done to Maxey in game two.
I guess, yeah, they still had that on their mind looking for revenge. Embiid is just a dirty player, man. He is a bully. He's the biggest guy on the court. I can't believe they just let that man do whatever he wants out there, and then he dropped 50 on their heads.
And then he pulled down my boy Mitchell Robinson. I was like, damn.
Embiid was giving him hell right away, and he gave him hell the whole game on one leg. Tonight was his night. The name I was thinking of, Brian Branch out of Alabama. He didn't go first round.
I remember,
the safety.
He was hyping up being a first rounder.
Yeah, and then the Lions got him, and he made an impact right away for them this season as a rookie.
I'm like, damn.
They got Terrion Arnold, too, out of Alabama this year. I'm like, the Lions know what they are doing. I forget their GM's name, but he is great. Thanks for the call, Dwight. You got it, bro. Man. Appreciate you.
All right.
Brad Holmes. And, I mean, for you to be hosting the draft and for you to be finessing in the draft, and they traded up with the Dallas Cowboys, and they saw, because, like, there should have been a run on corners. A lot of people were saying that the Quinion Mitchell kid out of Toledo, a smaller school, was just like, you know, some people were talking about how, like, Sauce Gardner went to a smaller school. Obviously, Sauce Gardner was, like, the fourth overall pick or something like that. This kid doesn't go till 22, right? The first cornerback in a league where when I was playing football, it was always, like, the cornerbacks are the most athletic people because they have to chase the most athletic people. Like, they have to guard the wide receivers. They're just as important as the wide receivers. If you don't have corners, you're getting burnt deep. Barbecue chicken, toast. So Quinion Mitchell goes, of course, to the Eagles. They definitely need corners at 22. And the Lions are like, oh, wait. Terrion Arnold's going to be the next cornerback off the board. We got to trade up. And the Dallas Cowboys are like, hey, we don't know what we want to do yet. What you got? And I'm cool with the Cowboys pick, actually. Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, that kid's a beast. You need a tackle, right? You move on from Tyron Smith, you get a new monster in there. Great. 877-337-6666. Thomas in center reach. You got the bat line. You got the bat phone. You know how to get right on the Fan, huh?
Yeah. It's just unbelievable. You were talking about Brian Branch, those Lions, bro. They're actually one of the craziest drafting teams.
They're going to be good for a while.
Like they paid St. Brown the bag.
Even Sam Laporta last year in the second round.
Second round pick. Everyone thought they reached on those guys last season. And
no, they were immediate impact players. They were stars.
Yeah. Oh, dude, they reached on Jahmyr Gibbs. You never draft a running back.
No, star player.
Yeah, he struggled a bit in the beginning, but as soon as David Montgomery got hurt for them last year, he was huge. Well, I was looking to talk. I called him and said, "Do not draft Brock Bowers." And look at the Jets; they actually listened to Pete. They actually listened and they took people's advice.
Yeah, it would have been
foolish.
Didn't
do it.
Brock Bowers is not helping you block for Aaron Rodgers. He's not like that. Like, I think he'll be an all right tight end, but no. They made the right move.
My dad's a Jets fan, so I'm so happy that, you know, he says he wanted offense. He wanted the guy, but I told him after they drafted him, I said, yeah, you'd be aggravated that Aaron Rodgers would be getting sacked too much. And I'd say, well, you could have this offensive arm. And that's what I told him. I said, because he was talking about how he always wants offense, but then there's a problem. You need the insurance plan.
It seems like these Jets fans forget they have Breece Hall. That should be your main offensive weapon. Anyway.
Yeah. And Garrett Wilson, too.
Actually, Garrett Wilson having Aaron Rodgers throw him the ball can be deadly, can be very effective.
Yes.
Instead of Tim Boyle and Zach Wilson and Trevor Siemian.
But unfortunately for me, Dolphins don't do what the fans want. They draft defense, and they had no intention of drafting offense. Tua is not going to have any time to throw that football. It's going to be a rough time.
There were people saying that the Dolphins were going to draft Michael Penix, and I'm like, nah, he's not going to be there.
No, he's not going to be. I Michael Penix, overall, he's one of my favorite players to watch in that draft because he's one of the most entertaining players. He's so fun to watch. And Pete, my uncle and everyone, they were saying they didn't like to pick that much. He said, and my cousin was like, oh, he's injured all the time. I said, when that guy plays on the football field, he's one of the best players.
He controls the game. He is the game. When he's playing, he is the game.
I don't know how I feel about that guy, the Colts drafted, though, medically having to retire from the league, having to medically retire, and then you come back. That's a little concerning.
The kid out of UCLA?
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's a little... And look at the Bills. They're so smart. And listen, I'm so happy, though. I'm so happy they're so dumb and just letting the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy like that.
Want him. Not for nothing. They went and got the kid out of South Carolina.
The Panthers got him.
Who'd they?
The Panthers got
him. Oh, they did.
They
swapped with them. So who'd the Bills get?
They traded out of the first round completely.
Oh, wow. They are dumb. I missed that. That was the last pick of the draft. I thought that
they complained about not being able to, they not wanting Stephon Diggs to go to the Chiefs, and then you just let them get Tyreek Hill Jr.
Yeah, that's a false move. So they have the first pick in the second round. They're going to get the kid Mitchell from Texas.
They have to draft a Doinel Mitchell, or you say like you have to, because if they do not draft him, oh my, it's them and then it's New England.
I thought they had Xavier Leggett for the Bills, and he stays in Carolinas and goes to the Panthers.
Could you imagine if they don't draft a wide receiver and then the Patriots draft a wide receiver? Because the Patriots have that next pick after them.
No, they have to draft a wide receiver.
It would be unbelievable. That would be one of the great, you're letting your arch rival, your new rival, you're basically out of a division rival. They're not going to, honestly, them not having Stephon Diggs is he was such
Stephon Diggs. They don't have Gabe Davis.
They let him go. I forgot until they showed additions on the screen on ESPN. I forgot Jacksonville got Gabe Davis, and now they got that Brian Thomas.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, they didn't. That was a luxury pick. I'm like, they didn't have to add another receiver. They have him.
That
they have
gonna be
Christian Kirk. They have Zay Flowers.
That team's gonna be unbelievable.
I don't know. The Jaguars always find a way to be frauds and mess it up. Trevor Lawrence is who he is.
Yeah, those Jag Texan games, though, I feel like those are going to be exciting to watch.
Yeah,
those are going to be.
Bro, have you seen?
I'm a Gator fan.
Tonight they had C.J. Stroud hanging out with Micah Parsons, kind of just talking the talk. Bleacher Report's been posting it. I'm like, those two guys need a show. They need a radio show or a podcast, rather.
Yeah,
like,
Micah Parsons has his podcast. It should be the two of them.
It should, because they go back and forth, obviously, Ohio State, Penn State, and then also now they're both in Texas with the Cowboys and the Texans. They're great.
Hey, I'm a Gator fan, so the 49ers get Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly, I like Juwan Jennings, too. So if they're able to trade, Ayuk and move up,
I just saw a report that they're trying to trade Debo before they trade IU.
Yeah, Debo posted that on his story. He posted some pro football chase. It's like a sports camp.
I think Malik Nabers could be a faster Debo Samuel. That's why I've been telling all these Giants fans, like, yo, hand him the ball, pitch him the ball, direct snap him the ball.
They're showing Ray Davis from Kentucky right now on NFL Network. That's what I'm watching. That guy is
I'm watching LeBron and AD look like losers in the
post. Yeah, D'Lo getting booed at the arena. He had 0 points again tonight. That man's a ghost.
Lakers fans hate them too. Lakers fans absolutely hate them too. They raised an in-season tournament banner and a Mickey Mouse ring from the bubble. Lakers fans hate AD and LeBron.
They're gonna be the team. They're going to be swept, and it's going to be LeBron has found his kryptonite at age 40, and it's who tames horses.
Yeah, they moved heaven and earth. I'll never forget that 2019. I was at Bonnaroo. I was actually with Kyle O'Quinn, who used to play for the Knicks, and that broke. They did the heist. Josh Hart was in that heist. The Pelicans and the Lakers. I'm like, oh no.
I remember when all they did the Photoshop for the retirement team, Carmelo, Dwight, LeBron. That team was – I thought that team could maybe sneak and make the playoffs. They'd be like a 8 seed. No, that team was straight trash. That team with Carmelo Anthony and LeBron. And who was it? They had Trevor Ariza. They had Trevor Ariza on that team in 2021, I think. That team was straight trash. Like, hey, I'm a Knicks fan, so I know about
this team is trash.
That are never –
This team right now, they got Spencer Dinwiddie over there, D'Lo over there.
I'm a Knicks fan, so I know about signing players that are old and aren't good. I know how that feels.
Marcus not anymore. Once you got rid of Evan Fournier, now you got a young core.
Now it's a young team. I'll never forget when I saw they had DeAndre Jordan for. I think that's who it was. I think they had DeAndre Jordan or what was the center. I forget.
Yeah, they had DeAndre Jordan. The Nets played that stupid game too. And then DeAndre Jordan won a ring backing up Jokic.
I remember this the other day because I was at Barclays, I think, during COVID. I forgot when I posted a picture. It was when LaMarcus Aldridge came back and he played for the Nets.
Yeah,
I think it was a Knick-Knack game, and it was when Kyrie couldn't play due to COVID restrictions.
Yeah,
I remember
my stupid
watching,
ass was
I,
probably in I the Brooklyn to, Brigade or something. Thanks for the call, Thomas. 877-337-6666. We're talking sports, man. It's just fun to talk basketball, football, baseball, a little puck as well. If you can't tell, I'm a sports fan. I can talk all this stuff. Like I said, they got the right one at night. I'll take your calls and talk about whatever you want to talk about. I know these draft picks. I know these teams and what they need or don't need. Luckily, I have internet access when I'm blanking on names and stuff like that. I can bring it right up. And, yeah, it's fun, man. Sports, they are the deodorant to a lot of things that we have to deal with in life. They take our mind off of our everyday struggles. They take our mind off of bills and challenges and negativity. And it's the most wonderful time right now because we have the NFL draft. We have the NHL or Stanley Cup playoffs, the NBA playoffs, and we have the baseball season getting real now. It's not early anymore if you're talking to me. We're in the thick of it now, or not, the start of the thick of it. We're in the flow of it now. These guys are approaching 100 at-bats. It's real. So coming up my last 25 minutes or so, Ellie is out on Long Island. He was at the Knicks game. I want to come to you first. We're still talking about the New York Knicks losing that first game to the Sixers, reactions to the NFL draft, and everything else, man. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Thanks for listening. Hold on. Show's almost over. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Mattingly swings and he has a drive to deep right center. It is high, it is far, it is gone. Back to back, Nina belly to belly.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, I don't know that jam right there. You know, sometimes you'll get a couple random rejoins that I never heard. Or obviously, I heard it before. I only heard it on The Fan, but I have no idea who sings that song. I couldn't even guess what the title of that song was. Keith McPherson on The Fan, only a couple minutes left. Let me see how many calls I can get in. I got four calls. I think I can get them in the next 10, 15 minutes or so. Thanks for listening to my show. Thanks for following me. Like I said before, you know, we were talking about the Yankees and the whole social media thing. You know, now I'm showing people on my story, like, yo, I'm not trying to disrespect these people. I don't think I'm anybody. I don't pretend to be famous. I don't pretend to be a celebrity, bro. I'm cool. I'm cool being who I am, straight up. I know who I am, first off. So I'm not trying to pretend to be somebody I'm not. And I don't disrespect anybody, ever. You know, funny sidebar here, because I got some time to kill. I was at the game, I think it was last Friday. And I appreciate people coming up, for real. I try to shake everybody's hand, ask them where they're from, how do you know me, radio, social media, podcast, whatever. And I say thank you, like appreciate it, for real. I was popped. I was unemployed. It was quiet for me. I was home, wishing that I had a job, wishing that I could go to the game, wishing that somebody would hit my phone, wishing that somebody knew my name, you know? So I'm at the game last Friday, and I look the same. I wear the same Yankee jacket, I always got shades on, whatever. I'm not low and I'm not hiding. But man, I ended up running into some young boys that were gassing it, and I felt bad because I had to like tell them, like, yo, the game started, right? So it's one thing for somebody to come through and be like, yo, this is Keith McPherson. Yo, you listen to Keith on The Fan? And a couple people were like, yeah, they knew exactly who I was. Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for saying hello. But there was this one kid like, nah, I don't listen to the radio. Who is this guy? Never heard of him. And it's like, okay, if you've never heard of me, then never mind me, right? But then he was kind of being obnoxious and be like, nah, I don't care. I don't know this guy. And then, all right, it died down for like a couple minutes and the game is going on, right? I'm watching the game. I have to get on The Fan and talk about the game. So then he comes back, he sits next to me and he puts his hand out and he's like, oh, what's up, Mr. Radio guy that I don't know? What's your name again? And I'm like, bro, you're gassing it. Like, leave me alone. Like, now I got to move out of the section of the bleachers that I'm in away from you because you're trying to make a spectacle or a joke out of me. Like, I'm not to be played with either. I show everybody respect. Show me the same respect. 877-337-6666. I said we're going out to Long Island to talk to Ellie on The Fan. What's up, Ellie?
Hey, Keith. How's it going?
Great.
Good. First of all, I just got to tell you, I don't know if you remember this, but like about a month or so ago, I called up about the hockey league. Just so you know, I told you I'll give you an update. My team won the division, won the championship. So
congrats, man. I actually was just talking to Eitan Levine. We got something in the works, man. He's killing it, and I'm going to have him back on The Fan, I think, in June. But, yeah, I remember when I had him on, you guys opened up a whole new world. I was like, what is this?
Oh, yeah.
I never heard of this indoor hockey league.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was an amazing season. You know, the kids had a great time, and we just, you know, we really enjoyed it, and I'm glad I was able to close it out with that little banner up in the wall, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so I just got back with my boys from Philly from the game. Let me paint you a picture, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might be a little hoarse just from all the screaming and stuff, but let me walk you and the listeners through here, okay? So we get to the game a little early. We're walking through, and there's got to be at least 30 to 50 just Knicks fans, and we're all chanting, go New York, go New York, go.
In one section?
Go Knicks. Not even in the sections. I'm talking about between outside tailgating, waiting to get inside. Just
I see.
It's just Knicks fan after Knicks fan after Knicks fan. Monday. It wasn't even like an away game. We're talking about it's almost like felt like a home game going in there.
Good, man.
And then and then we get into our seats, right? And it's just next person that sits down, they're like, oh, another Knicks fan. Great. We thought we were going to be the only ones that were going to get like killed tonight, you know? And it's just Knicks fan after Knicks fan after Knicks fan. And first quarter comes, was a little slow pace just based on, you know, there was a lot of stoppage reviews, things like that. But then once the game started going, end of the first quarter, right? Brunson's nailing threes, Hart's hitting threes. Then you get into the second quarter, right? Knicks are up. We have that first half. We have the lead. And then all of a sudden, it's literally a home game. Like the vibe, the chill, it's just chant after chant.
Madison Square Garden South. That's what it's supposed to feel like.
It literally felt like we were in Madison Square Garden. And then all of a sudden, like third quarter starts, Philly goes on a little bit of a run, right? But, you know, it's all right. That's fine. Knicks pick up a little bit. And then all of a sudden, Embiid, with that dirty play, takes out Mitchell Robinson. First of all, there's no way he doesn't get flagrant two thrown out of that game.
What I'm saying. They went and looked at it on the video, and it's like I don't know, bro. You just know they're leaning towards the MVP, the home team, and
yeah, but especially after the first quarter when he had another dirty play when he got that technical.
He was wilding. They let him do whatever he wanted. I couldn't even watch the game out there. I locked in more on the draft. The Yankees sucked tonight. I'm like, this game is going in their favor.
No, but the after that he went on to hit like three threes. Even when he beat them, we literally draped on him in his face. He's just line driving three and a three and a three in, and it was just like the crowd, everything just like deflated. Everybody was like, "What just happened?" It was like a turning point. It was heartbreaking. But it's like, I mean, at this point, can the NBA go on and like review this and suspend this, or there's nothing you could do?
It's all part of the theatrics, the movie, the show that you're watching, and now the storyline is shifting. Okay, Embiid guaranteed a series win. He got the first win in the series. He dropped 50 points. He was allowed to do whatever he wants. Let's see what happens in the next game. Thanks for the call, Ellie. Just got to move the line. I've got 11 minutes left. Corey in Jersey City, you're on the fan. What you got?
Hey, man, thanks for putting me through. I just wanted to say, I think with the Brock pick for the Raiders and the Penix pick for Atlanta, I think I've been listening to everybody. I think everybody's got it wrong. I think those are going to be two home run picks. Let me just start with the Raiders. They're trying to beat the Chiefs, right? And it's a copycat league. Tight end is a huge position from a receiving standpoint that can alleviate pressure off your offense if you're copying what Kelsey and Mahomes are doing.
Not to cut you off, Corey, you know they drafted Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame last year early in the second round, who was arguably one of the top tight ends.
I know, but they're saying Brock was the best available
the Mackey Award the last couple of years, and he was the best at that position. So that's what they did. Their board probably told them, take the best player of need at a position. They run two tight end sets. There you go.
Yeah, and that's going to be huge for your offense if you're playing quarterback. And then also with the Penix pick, I look at what Green Bay does, where they have that system. They let a veteran quarterback run the show, and they got the new guy sit for a couple of years, develop him, let him learn the playbook, and then he's going to come in and be a homer. I watched Penix Jr., for the Heisman, I was watching him very close, and he looked like I was watching him make all the throws.
He should have won
the best
Heisman.
Player in the world.
Yeah, he was the best player in college football, but I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, so I just think that those two picks are going to really work out for both teams.
I'm right there with you. Thanks for the call, Corey. Now, Brock Bowers, like I said, at first I was thinking, well, it depends on what he translates into. And also, they need a quarterback, man. You can't sell me on Minshew and McConnell. But I do understand also they're trying to run the ball, two tight end sets, but both those tight ends are receiving tight ends. So I'm saying Michael Mayer coming out of Notre Dame last year was regarded as a top tight end. It was him, Dalton Kincaid, and Sam Laporta. Kincaid went first. I think Mayer went before Sam Laporta.
So that's why people were like, Brock Bowers that high? They could have drafted someone else. But maybe they weren't in love with anyone else. I'm trying to think what other position of need. They need a quarterback, but they weren't going to draft Bo Nix. So it is what it is. It's to each his own. All right. Keeping the line moving. Gary in Waterbury, Connecticut on the Fan. What you got?
Oh, McFair. I'm stealing at least 3 minutes of every Keith Radio hour. My man, Guru. And, you know, shout to Primo. And, you know, today was a big L for the Yanks. It was. I don't care what day, night, or time. You lose a series to the junk aid. You know.
Well, they split. But yes.
No. Okay.
They shouldn't have split the series. They got shut out in the first game they lost, and they pretty much got shut out today. They had a short portrait by Trevino. That was the only run scored.
It's not good. You got to be better than that. You know that, Keith. And it was a big L today, and shouts to Big L. Flamboyant is the label that writes the check. You know, Foo Philly, Cashman sucks. I'm incredible. Better eat your vegetables, cause I does what I do. Keith, give me lay a question on me.
Who are you most concerned about in the Yankees lineup? Now it's not Judge, right? Now it's not. Gleyber Torres got another hit today. Who are you most concerned about?
I want Gleyber gone. I want Gleyber gone.
He's booking his flight out right now.
And I don't want Soto to just grab the bag from the Yanks and then check out.
I said that last night.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I said that last night about, like, the Yankees don't necessarily have to give them this blank check we're talking about. They have all the leverage. Look at all these Dominican, Puerto Rican artists showing up to the Yankee Stadium to see Juan Soto. He loves playing in Yankee Stadium. There's some leverage there. I think... When it all shakes out, they're going to be able to lean on, you like the pinstripes. We don't have to pay you $700 million. If you want to take that to go to the other side of town, go for it. Gary, thanks for the call. I just got to move the line along. Timmy's in Lakewood, New Jersey on the Fan. You got it, Tim.
How you doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Aaron Judge.
All right.
Here's the Judge.
Yeah, I don't know. How you feel about Judge? I mean, today another couple strikeouts and nothing.
It's creeping me out. What's going on?
Yeah, he's batting 186. And, like, even his post-game comments yesterday with Chris Sheeran, he seemed like he was a little perturbed. He seemed like he was a little annoyed. He even was a little tongue-in-cheek, like, yeah, no, I haven't figured it out. I need another 500 at-bats. Like, Judge, like, we've seen over 500 of your at-bats, and you hit bombs. Right now, you don't look the same. And if it wasn't for that mulligan with that balk, you wouldn't have had that home run yesterday. So we're all looking at you, bro, like, what's up with you? Are you all right? Okay, you're not hurt. You're playing center field. You're getting your at-bats, but you're not effective.
I do think he is hurt. I think he has an injury, but he's scared to report it or something.
I'm over the hurt thing at this point, because I said that, and it got a huge response on Twitter and Instagram, and I still have people, like, yesterday I bet on Aaron Judge to homer, and people are like, I thought you said he was hurt. That doesn't mean I don't think he's going to homer. I thought he was still spring beat up, because he doesn't look like himself. I've watched a lot of the guy. He doesn't look right, but, I mean, he's got to get right. You're batting third. You can't be batting third with a 186 batting average, striking out multiple times every game. It's just odd. It's not right.
I do think the Yanks could do fine without him, with Soto and Volpe on fire like this.
Well, what do you mean without him? Who replaces Judge? Trent Grisham?
No, I'm he's there. I'm saying him like he is now.
Yeah, you're saying, okay, Volpe, do fine without him. Volpe, I mean, not for nothing, Volpe had two hits tonight to bring his average back up a little bit. The whole thing about Volpe leading off, I don't love it, but the lineup is the lineup. That's what I've been saying. At least they've been running out the same lineup every day. And this is going to be the lineup. Trevino, I was happy to see in there with two hits and a homer over Austin Wells. If you look up Trevino's numbers, just click on his name in the box score and look at his last seven games. Trevino, all of a sudden, is batting almost 400. He's got two homers, seven RBI. Trevino is your catcher. He should be your catcher 4 out of 5 days in the week, if you ask me. But all in all, what I'm saying is DJ's not coming back, and Dominguez is not coming back, and you have guys like Judge in the lineup. He's got to do damage. Stan, he's got to do damage. Rizzo got hot for a little bit. These guys were not able to cash in. They left a lot of runners on base, and it's not good enough against the poverty Oakland A's. You lose one, you lose to three. You get one run that barely scraped over the short porch in right field.
Yeah. But I do agree. I think on the Volpe thing, Volpe is, I think he's just amazing.
I think he's a great player, offensively, definitely defensively. But I just was disappointed because he was Mookie Betts to start the season. It was him and Mookie Betts. When you were looking at their numbers, it was him and Mookie Betts. Batting average, OPS, homers, RBI hits. And then they just so quickly moved him from the lower half of the lineup to say, oh, he's ready to be the leadoff. Now he is. And now he's even longer. There was a thought that DJ could come back and maybe they do drop Volpe. No.
They couldn't have Torres there.
Yeah, and
they couldn't have Torres there.
Anything to get Gleyber Torres going, we'll move Gleyber anywhere. Like Gleyber will be our everyday second baseman because he can't play shortstop. We'll do anything to get Gleyber Torres going. Like, we're over the Gleyber Torres experiment. Thanks for the call, Timmy. 877-337-6666. If you want to talk to C-Mac, he's coming up next. I got one more call to take. It goes to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's good, man? Listen, I called about the Knicks and Sixers, but let me say this, man. It's a little unfair for anybody to criticize Judge. I mean, even Mookie Betts has had a couple of down years. Judge, you know, we're less than a month in. And as far as him getting a mulligan, it's about damn time, Keith, because he gets jerked more than anybody in that bat. So,
heard you.
Like, listen, he needs another 100 mulligans, then we might be even. But as far as the Knicks and the Sixers, you can ask Fleek, man. I said this when the Knicks was up 2-0. I was like, listen, the discouraging part about this is that Joel Embiid gets a different whistle than everybody else. The mm-hmm. emphasis, the point of emphasis on the fouls is that you, are, as an offensive player, they're not calling it when you initiate contact. But Joel Embiid initiates the contact. He gets every single call. You can't breathe on this dude. So I knew, you know, they were going to have a chance to win at home. But I'm not disheartened. You know why? Because the Knicks played, you know, that, like, you see how other teams lay down in game three at home when they're up 2-0? The Knicks don't ever lay down. So they're going to always give you the effort, the confidence, the heart there. The only thing is, you know, like, you know, can they call the game a little bit more fair? I mean, you know, Embiid's allowed to do whatever the hell he wants. Apparently, the adjustment with the rules don't apply to him. They apply to Jalen Brunson even more so. Because check it out, Keith, they're grabbing him. They're even grabbing and holding him to prevent him from getting the ball. Now, that's 80s and 90s stuff. Like, even, you know, with the adjustments that's been made at midway through the season, which sucks in itself, you know, that's not supposed to be allowed. And if it is, how many times would we get away with holding Embiid before he catches the ball?
No, you just don't. Because he's the biggest guy on the court. He's the MVP. It's just different. And that's why I was going back talking about how him, Giannis, LeBron, Luka, these marquee guys like that, they play a different game.
Yeah, but it's because the refs, it's like, you know, it's not fair. The rules are supposed to apply equally to everybody. You know, like, this guy gets 21 free throws. And he's chasing
the
50, trying to chase those 50.
And it's almost like they're trying to make up for the non-calls of the last game. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't, because they're trying to let him play.
Keith, let me say this real quick, because I know you got to go. But I'm tired of hearing about the calls at the end of the game, because like Tim said, what about the other 46 minutes that Jalen Brunson was being held? We would have never been in that position. You know what I'm saying?
It's such an inexact science. And I know I'm the main guy always complaining about officials, umpires, referees. But it sucks. That's what changes the game. Thanks for the call, Ray. Appreciate y'all, man. That's all I've got tonight. I'll be back for a Friday night show. The Yankees will play the Milwaukee Brewers, and we'll get some more picks in the draft. The Mets will face the Cardinals, and we'll get another Rangers game. And we'll do this again. You guys will call up with your thoughts and takes. I'll bring my thoughts and my takes, and we'll pass the time. Shout out to you if you're working, and shout out to you if you're going to listen to C-Mac. C-Mac will come through with what he thinks about the Knicks game, what he thinks about Malik Nabers, what he thinks about the Yankees lineup. Got some hits. Just didn't get more than one run. 11 hits. Left a bunch of guys on base. Not good enough. but maybe they'll go on the road and turn it up. And you know what's crazy? 40,000 people showed up to this Yankee game, picked the wrong game to go to. That's all I've got. I got to drive home. KM to 2 a.m. concludes. Thank you guys so much. I'm out of here. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.